Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Do you know that the way you perceive God can keep you from knowing the truth about Him? It's true. Your perception of a person, even if it's wrong, will keep you from seeing him or her as they really are. That's the reason I'm going to make the next statement, 7 words. I want you to write them down and get it engrafted inside of you. You will have the God you perceive. You will have the God you perceive. I encourage you to write those words down and meditate on it in terms of how you look at life and the situation. If you perceive him as a poor God, you'll always think he's trying to get money from you. And you'll see him in that way. But when you understand he's a rich God, you realize that he's trying to get money to you and not from you. Our perception of God and his relationship to our financial status will cause us to see him in really one or two ways. He will either be Jehovah Needy or Jehovah Jireh. One or the other. According to the Bible, God is Jehovah Jireh. And there's more, people say that's the name of God, but there's actually more to that.
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah Jireh, and it referred to him, but it's also a place. But that's a whole other teaching. But according to the Bible, God is Jehovah Jireh and is ready and able to prosper and abundantly bless you beyond all that you can imagine or think.
I want to interject right here too. We're going to talk about, obviously, because we're from the debt-free army, we talk about a financial side of, that's what our teaching is tonight. But understand this, the enemy works overtime, and I mean overtime, to have people raised up to feel that their father image, you know, to eliminate fathers, to make them have an image that is something where it's difficult to take and extrapolate, if I can use that word. You know, you look at your fatherly image, and that is kind of the way you start to perceive your heavenly father, which could be very generous and sweet and loving, or it could be he was absent. He wasn't there when you needed him. He was, you know, the enemy likes to use fatherhood, which is a hugely important role in every child's life, against the child, to not let them see their Father God in the way that they really should biblically, or to have trouble getting over what they perceive to be a negative image, to be able to realize that their God in heaven is a loving, caring, and good Heavenly Father. And that goes in all ways.
In every area. And that's why
exactly
that statement, you'll have the God that you perceive.
Exactly.
And you'll have the Father that you perceive.
And I've known people who've had a hard time because their father was like controlling and controlled everything they did. And they felt as if God was, you know, they said, well, you know, I don't want a God that has all of this. And I'm saying, you're not reading your Bible and understanding what he says, you know, what it says about your heavenly father.
That's good.
You're thinking in terms of your earthly father. So, you know, there is that fine line where the enemy just is so, oh, I mean, he uses that against people, and you have to get past the fact.
Maybe we should do a teaching on that, Rich Thoughts for Breakfast one morning.
That'd be good. And, or even a series.
Yes, yeah, we really should.
How to, perceive your Heavenly Father. Anyway.
It becomes your reality.
Exactly. And that's just so important in this
teaching.
Well,
we are. We deal primarily with finances.
True.
And, you know, rich thinking. So that's why this is a financial context.
Yes.
Tonight.
But I wanted
but
to
it's
just
true on so many levels.
Make
it really
that,
is.
You know, I wanted to make that.
That's a good point, honey.
Point,
well
yeah.
Well placed. So He is Jehovah Jireh. He's
our
not
provider.
Jehovah Needy, standing with his hand out to get all you have and being selfish. The bottom line is this.
Yes.
We're in a living epistle being read by every unsaved person, and even saved person who meets us. That's what we are. We're a living epistle being read.
According to the scripture.
Yep.
You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, our credentials, written in your hearts to be known, perceived, recognized, and to be read by everybody. That's in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3, 2, Classic Amplified.
If the God you perceive from this teaching is a needy God, all you observe will be, well, you just perceive God to be needy and greedy. If that's what they get from you,
right,
then they'll have no desire to know Him. They'll have no desire because they just, many of them have lived and come from that kind of an existence. However, if the God that you perceive, you have a correct understanding of His Word, and He's a God who abundantly prospers and blesses His children.
Amen.
Cares for them, directs them, has made many promises to them. If that's the kind of God you perceive, those who observe God's goodness to you, well, they'll perceive Him to be a good God.
Amen.
And they'll want to know the God that loves, blesses, cares for,
yes,
protects. And they'll come to see the light of His Word.
Amen. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, Classic Amplified, it says, "Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory shall be seen on you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." That's what we want people to see.
That's what we want them to see. This teaching tonight has a number of key requirements to keep in an open heaven over you.
Mm.
And that's what we want. We want you living, that's what God wants.
That's right.
He wants you living under an open heaven.
And let me interject this too. There is a difference between the principles of God and the person of God. God loves you with all His heart. I mean, He made you. He wants nothing but good for you and always will, regardless of whether you are obeying His rules or not. But the principles of God, the rules, the principles that He lays down is based this way. A lot of times, if you do this, you will receive this. If you do that, you will receive that. And He doesn't go against His principles, no matter how much He loves you. And the illustration I like to use is like a man in a court of law. If his child, you know, if he, and God is the righteous judge, and He made the rule book. If his child comes before Him in a court of law, in a civil, let's just say, society, and they've broken the law, He can't be partial, no matter how much He loves His child, to that one child if they broke the law. So what we're saying here is these are keys that if you do this, this is how God wants you blessed.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. When the windows of heaven are open,
hallelujah,
the abundance of God can continually flow into your stewardship, revealing to the world a loving, kind, generous God.
Amen.
And that's what you want them to see. You want an open heaven to be your reality and that visible perception of that to other people. It's your reality, but it's a visible reality to other people where they see the love of God flowing through you. Key number one, you must tithe. There's no question the first step toward proper stewardship is tithing, for the tithe belongs to God.
Amen.
Leviticus 27:30. "And the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." God promises that if we faithfully tithe, He will open the windows of heaven over us. Malachi 3:10, King James. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith," that's the only time the Lord says prove me, by the way, in Scripture. "Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." In the light of this verse, if you don't tithe, the windows of heaven are closed. It's real simple. When you tithe, the windows open. If you don't, the windows close. And open is better than closed all the time.
We found that out, didn't we?
We have. Mm.
Amen and amen. Key number two, keep your priorities right. You know, it's hard to receive an increase from God if you're asking with the wrong motives. And he tells us in James 4, verse 3, ye ask amiss and receive not because you ask amiss, and you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, we can be assured that an ever-increasing flow of wealth will be ours when we put the kingdom of God first, as it says in Matthew 6:33. This is the promise he gives us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when our primary purpose for increase is to benefit the kingdom and be a blessing because we are blessed, then God's promises and his supply just naturally flow through because we are seeking first the kingdom. And the personal desire is to not take it upon ourselves, but to be able to be a blessing to other people.
That's good.
Yes.
Number three, don't be double-minded.
There you go.
Don't be double-minded. A double-minded man does not have the ability to receive from God. Does not. James 1, verses 6 through 8. James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth.
Where's your King James here? Wavereth.
I don't speak King James.
I know.
It's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let me read that again. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can overcome double-mindedness, but the key is meditating, studying, being in the Word of God and in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can overcome by listening to anointed teachers, ministers, as they teach the word of God. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established.
Mm. Key number four, give acceptable offerings. And God shows us how. You know, we can give in such a way that our offerings are acceptable to God because this is the way he lays it out. First of all, he says, give with a willing heart. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, if there first be a willing mind, if your offering is accepted. And second, you know, base the amount of our offering on the good things that God has given us. If it says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, if your offering is accepted according to that a man hath, according to what God has given you, and not according to that he hath not. Now, this is what I call that King James Version. But what it's actually saying in this is you don't base it on, well, I've got to have this for this, and I've got to have that for that. When the Lord moves on you, believe me, he will supply the need when the time comes. And third, when we're giving our offerings with joy and thanksgiving, let me just read this scripture and you'll understand. 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9 is a great verse. You know, those verses are great to study when you want to know what pleases God in your giving. It says, let him give not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We used to have a preacher that says God loves a cheerful giver. But he'll take it from a grouch. That's funny, but it's unscriptural. It really is. It's unscriptural. Five.
The church will take it, but the
church will
God
take it.
Doesn't.
Minister will take it, but God won't. Key number five, have a proper understanding. Understanding always governs every part of your ability to receive from God. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. By the way, the word wish is more properly translated desire. Mm-hmm. Beloved, I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul understanding prospereth. Mm-hmm. Truth of the matter is, you can't increase in an area that you have no understanding of. It's like people, you can't have, if you don't have knowledge, you can't have faith. You can't have faith for what you don't have knowledge of. Mm-hmm. And that's the same principle. But when we begin to understand the things God has promised us, the things that He's put in His Word,
yes,
then we have the ability to manifest that in our lives.
Hallelujah.
We have the ability to have peace in the midst of every storm, because the Word says that He gives us His peace.
Amen.
So that makes a difference.
Amen. And key six, that really leads into key six. Cast out all fear. Fear does not, I repeat, fear does not come from God. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. You notice it's a spirit, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boy, I could preach on this. The Lord's just opened that up to me. But understand this, He did not give us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. And we overcome fear by building ourselves up in God's Word, so that we learn to trust His Word and understand that that Word works and the devil's not included in it. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, I love this, this is our weapons, part of them, casting down imaginations. And did I say 2 Corinthians 10:5? I think I did. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've got to remember that the Lord is the truth. We may see, perceive things as having facts right now, but truth always prevails and facts can change. So we need to trust what it is that He says.
Number 7. Operate in faith.
Amen.
Write this down, please. You can't please God if you don't have faith in Him. You can't please God if you don't have faith in Him. And you ask somebody, you know, faith, they'll tell you what denomination they belong to. Faith is not a denomination.
That's right.
It is not. And we've done teachings on that. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Strong faith is absolutely necessary in every area of our lives. It's also very necessary if you want it to be increase in your life. In fact, faith is the raw material from God. That's exactly what it is.
That's very good.
Let's see, I forgot where I was at. Oh,
you got to preach.
Hebrews 11:1. I know. Now, faith is the substance, raw material of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. The funding of your stewardship will be in direct proportion to the strength of your faith. Mm. It will be. Matthew 9:29, Classic Amplified. According to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done to you.
Hallelujah.
That's a strong scripture.
It is.
It really is.
Many of these are.
According to your faith and trust and reliance on the power invested in me, be it done to you. Hallelujah.
Key number 8, cast down unbelief. You know, when we're operating in unbelief, we can't be operating in faith. So we've got to cast it down in order to receive the blessings that God is wanting to give to us. In Hebrews 3:19, Classic Amplified Bible, it says, so we see that they were not able to enter into His rest because of their willingness to adhere to and trust and rely on God's, that unbelief shut them out. You know, that was, of course, referring to the children of Israel. When we, you know, that just kind of tells it. In other words, unbelief is just going to shut the windows of heaven over your life. But remembering that the faith in God, relying on it, the blessing of God, He wants us blessed, and He brings it to our doorstep, but we're the ones who have to open that door and let it in through our trust.
Absolutely. Mm. Key number 9, don't look back to your old life. Mm. You got to let go of the past, whether it was good or bad, because it's over. As good or bad, it's over. I posted something on Facebook and somebody put, yeah, but you learn from the past. I said, yeah, you learn from the past, but you don't live there.
There you go.
You know, and that's the whole key. And some people want to live there. Keep your future in front of you. When you do, you realize that it's bright because of Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you're involved in for the Lord right now is the most important thing in your life. The most important thing in your life. Luke 9:62, Amplified Classic. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember, and with Jesus, like the old song says, it just gets better and better every day.
Yes.
Better and better every day.
Amen. Key number 10, maintain proper relationships. If you're involved in a marriage that's turbulent and, you know, starts to just, the enemy likes to disrupt your stewardship because you're in a turbulent marriage, he can stop that flow because of that. And in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the way that we treat one another can also hinder our prayers, and we need to be sure that, you know, that we're interacting with one another in a marriage situation according to what the Lord lays out, and not according to what we think is best. But what does the Word say about maintaining, you know, an open heaven, right, over our lives?
That's exactly right. Key number 11, walk in love. Do not allow strife and bitterness in your relationship with your Christian brothers and sisters. Because if you do, if there's bitterness, if there's strife, then it will stop the increase from your giving. Let's say it again.
And other things too.
And other things too.
Really?
But if there's bitterness and strife, it'll stop you, the increase from your giving. Matthew 5:23-24. Mm. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What it's really saying is, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart with somebody, go make it right before you give your offering. That's what it's saying. See, this verse to me is implying that God will not accept your offerings if you have strife with a brother or sister in the Lord. Mark 12:31, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. Jesus said, no commandment is more important than to walk in love. Than to walk in love.
That's true. Key number 12, believe God's proven, notice we said proven ministers. You know, believing God, you know, it is, if you're in a good Bible-based church and you've got someone who's preaching the Word, I mean, out of the Bible, you know what I mean? It's going to bring prosperity to your stewardship. In 2 Chronicles, it says in 2020, you have 2020 vision. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. We need to remember that God ordained the fivefold ministry. He ordained the fivefold ministry to help the maturing of the body of Christ through the church and, you know, the chosen preachers and teachers. And he promises that we will prosper as we walk in that fivefold ministry. I mean, you know, the abundance of that fivefold ministry being brought out in the church.
Let me just tell you this. If you're in a church where you can't agree with what the pastor teaching, then you need to ask God if he wants you to move somewhere else. Mm. You really do. Because you need to be in a place where you can be in complete harmony and peace and feel like you're growing in what you're doing. Number 13, be willing to work. God says that you cannot prosper in his economy without hard work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Need to keep in mind the number one reason for working hard, that you have money. Not only to meet your own needs, but to be a blessing to other people. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We can't expect a harvest unless we plant a seed. If we want to ensure that we have plenty of seed, then we need to work for it. It's the sort of thing, and as we work for it, God opens the door and provides it to us.
Amen. Amen. Key number 14, keep sin out of your life. I think most everybody that we're talking to tonight is kind of already past this kind of a thing. But if sin seeps into our lives, you know, and we're allowing it to be there, then we can expect that things are not going to go well. We are not going to be put in a position of being in the place of experience, blessing. One of the things, even though this wasn't, and this is, gives us some good advice out of Deuteronomy, even though this was the law, there's some really good advice in this in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2, where it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the Lord, to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do the commands which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We may be living under grace, but we are still given, you know, commands and ways in which we can be blessed if we hearken unto what the Lord, you know, has set down in his word.
Key number 15, speak the right things.
Yes.
Guard your words. Speak only things that bring life, health, prosperity, righteousness, and the godly desires of the heart. Jesus said that what you say is what you'll have.
That's right.
Now, there are times that in moments of bursts of faith, we have strong confessions based on the word. Mm. But this applies to conversation day in and day out. The things that you're saying, what you're doing, it really does. Mark 11:23.
Hallelujah.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If we want the windows of heaven open over our lives, then we need to always speak things that agree with the, well, with God's word.
Amen.
And what he promises in his word.
That's right.
When our words line up with his word, then we're positioning ourselves for breakthroughs in every area of our lives.
Amen.
And it really, when our words line up with his words, it makes it easier to receive from him.
Amen.
It really does.
And believe for it. Key number 16. That leads kind of into this. Pay your pledges to God. You know, if you've promised to do something for God, he takes that seriously. That's words coming out of your mouth. Oh, well, I'm going to do this. I promise I'm going to do this. In Ecclesiastes 5:4, it says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools.
Wow.
Pay that which thou hast vowed. I remember one time when our oldest son, who's a preacher, he said the Lord had put him into had gotten him involved in a pledge, said, you know, pledge this. And so he did. And he said he knew that it was going to bring him some prosperity. And he said he thought that, well, maybe, you know, like, I think it was about $1,000. He said,
it was $1,000.
I think that I'll just kind of pay it over the months. It'll make it a little bit easier, you know. And the Lord said, you can, absolutely. He said, but your blessing will also be held. And he said, you know what? I decided I was going to, you know, do what the Lord said. And he prospered, you know. So it's, you don't want to become a fool in God's eyes. If you actually have promised to do something, you need to do it or don't promise to do it.
Number 17, key 17, perceive God as he is.
Amen.
Continually renewing your mind so that you'll always perceive God to be who he is. The rich, generous, loving, kind, gracious, forgiving God of heaven. He is the God who desires to bless and not curse his children. If we perceive God to be harsh and stingy, that's an incorrect perception that will hinder our ability to receive the good gifts from God that he wants to put into all of our lives. If we perceive him to be good and generous, well, we're ready to receive
yes.
the abundant provision that he's promised for us. And let me just say, too, if that doesn't come when you snap your fingers, that means it's not coming.
That's right.
The promises of God are true.
Faithful.
And it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. When it's going to happen.
Amen.
John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I think this is the NIV translation.
That's what he says.
The King James says, I am come that you might have life.
That's right.
And you might have it more abundantly. The word might indicates there's a choice. There's a choice.
Amen.
You're going to choose whether or not this manifests in your life. It's literally your choice.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like the New Living Translation verse.
We love that one.
That says that God's desire is for you to have a rich and prosperous life.
Think of that.
And prosperous means financial, but it means much more than that, too.
Oh, yeah.
In every area of your life. We've taught that before.
We sure have. Key number 18, refuse to love money. I've heard people say, oh, money's the root of all evil. But that is not what the scripture says.
That's not what it says. I don't believe that money is the root of all evil. I believe it's the lack of money that's the root of all evil.
It can cause a lot of evil, that's for sure.
That's a fact. Because if there wasn't a lack of money,
things could happen.
It could. It could level the playing field.
That's it.
And make it easier, but really by faith is what you do.
Yeah, that's it. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money obviously is not for loving. Money is for blessing your family, as well as the families of the earth, as it says in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3.
You might write that down and look that
blessed
up.
Blessed to be a blessing. Yep.
Genesis 12:1-3. 1-3.
Amen.
Key number 19, respond to the cry of the poor.
Yes.
We have to realize that the needs of the poor are important to the Lord because he talks about it a lot in Scripture. And giving to the poor, the Scripture says, is actually lending to the Lord.
I love that Scripture.
Proverbs 19:17, King James. He that hath pity upon the Lord lendeth unto the Lord. That which he hath given, he will repay him again. Ignoring the cry of the poor will bring you a time of need. And that's just the way it is.
It's called a sowing and reaping effect, really.
And if you're not giving to the poor in your time of need, nobody's going to hear your cry.
Mm.
They're not. Because the scripture says, Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard.
That's scary.
See, we're not making this up. It's in the book.
That's it. Got to know the book. Key 20, be a doer of the word. You know, it's great to go to church. It's great to listen in church. But when you walk out and you're the same as when you know, before you came in, it's not really doing you any good. Hearing the word and applying the word is what makes the word prosper in you. In James 1 verse 22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Who wants to be deceived? You know, if you're doing the word, then you're qualifying yourself for God's blessing. Listen to James 1 verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I don't know about y'all, but I'm pretty sure about you, that you want to be blessed by what you do.
That's
and
it.
Don't we all?
Key number 21, get rid of traditional thinking about money.
Oh, man.
Because traditional thinking about money will render God's truth about money ineffective. Matthew 15:6, Classic Amplified. "So for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority and making it of no effect." It doesn't matter what you've heard all your life. If it doesn't line up with the scripture,
amen,
you need to cast it aside and allow the word of God to become effective in your life. And you can't allow tradition to block the promises of God from manifesting in your life.
That is so true. Key number 22, exercise patience. Now, I know the first thing you're going to say is she's going to meddling now. Exercise patience. But you know, what we're teaching here tonight is just not going to manifest by tomorrow. It's a working, it's a sowing in your mind. You have to patiently work out the word, get used to doing it, getting to where it's just number one in your life. And as we do exercise patience, we will start to see the promises of God moving into our lives.
As we do that, He'll allow us to see
Yeah.
and understand things that we never saw that way before.
I know. When you're planting that seed, you can't dig it up the next day to see how much it's grown. But if you keep planting, watering, fertilizing, pretty soon you're going to start to see the growth and realize it's there. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, it says, "Ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise," which means that it's not just a sow today and reap tomorrow, as all of us know, really.
It's really time for us to act on the truths
yes.
that we've learned.
And the sooner we do it, the more prosperous we will be.
The greater our response.
Exactly. And the greater the increase.
And the increase in the manifestation.
Hallelujah.
Our God is a rich God.
Yes.
The rich God of heaven. He's eager to supply all of our needs, as well as your desires through His rich son, Jesus. You know, as a child, spiritually speaking,
yeah,
you're standing at the threshold. And even if you've been serving the Lord a long time, you're at a threshold of a bright new existence of stewardship in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When you understand these 22 keys we've talked about, it helps position you for really major breakthroughs in life. It really does.
It does.
The Apostle Paul, we want to join him in the following affirmation. It's an affirmation the Apostle Paul made. I don't know that I put it on the outline. I tell you what, later tonight I'll add it to the outline that's on the outline that's on the website of tonight's teaching.
Yeah.
I'll add this affirmation to it. Here's what it is. I pray that God would draw you according to the riches of His glory.
Yes.
To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell upon your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's actually in the scriptures. You can read it yourself.
It's in Ephesians 3.
Yeah.
Read it starts with verse 16.
It finishes up. Well, I'm going to read one of them. And to know the love of Christ.
Yes.
which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Mm. Now unto him
yes,
that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Amen. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus.
Amen. It's Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 21.
And you can just look it up yourself.
That's a
make
good
that
one.
Note on your notes and read it. But that says a lot. To him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That's not what we need.
That's the God we want you to perceive. The one who really, really loves you.
When your perception of God
and wants you to prosper
is based on this passage in the teaching tonight, then not only will an open heaven be your reality, but a life of righteous living, a life where you're a blessing to people that you meet, a life where people just are touched by you, by your presence.
And you'll be able to be a blessing, I know, and live abundantly because you're walking in the fullness of the Word.
Hallelujah.
Still working on all of that.
Though. Hallelujah.
But hey, it's possible, or he wouldn't have put it in the
book.
That's
it. It's in the book.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's in the book. We can do it.
That's it.
May have to stop some of the mess you've been doing.
Yeah.
But you can do
and
it.
Get rid of some of the old traditional thinking and get past circumstance. There's so many things that, that can hinder you in it. But you got to believe that you got to know that if God said it, it can be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. If you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, move to the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God, what seed have you put in the ground? That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern at Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, you're going to love tomorrow. You really are. Join us at 8:30 in the morning. We'll listen to the playback. And in the name of Jesus, we speak that this coming week will be the best week
of your entire
life.
And it's going to be because
that you'll see things you've never seen in the Word.
That's right.
You get an understanding that you'll have
of your enlightenment are opening. Your heart is flooded with truth.
Revelatory insight.
Amen.
You'll make divine connections.
Hallelujah.
Supernatural appointments. And that just God will manifest His presence in your life.
So be expectant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, we taught that years ago, 7 things to do before we go to sleep at night.
That helps.
Confession. Father, I thank you in advance that Monday, September 10th, 2018,
hallelujah,
is going to be the greatest day of my life. And I thank you on that day you're going to give me divine revelation, supernatural understanding. Just confess it, possess it,
and believe it.
And go hallelujah. God bless you. And we'll talk to you in the morning at 8:30 or during
the
day.
So keep thinking rich thoughts.
Happy trails. We love you. Bye-bye.